We got to be able to pick up our sword and pull to Matthew 22 for the great commandment and Matthew 28 for the great commission. We don't get it. Some of us can name our stocks up and down, but we can't name our word.
Hi, and welcome back to Live in the Light. We're glad that you have joined us today. I'm your host, Craig Turnbull, and with me in studio is Pastor Robbie Simons. If you'd like more information about Live in the Light, or if you'd like to find out what we're all about, or even get some of the resources that we are offering, please dial us in at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. Or if you'd like more information, you can even phone us at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-22-LIGHT. Robbie, yesterday we began a brand new series in doctrine, and we were looking at how truth will lead to transformed lives. We're digging deeper into that today, right?
Yeah, and today again, our message is entitled, Without Doctrine, We're Dead. You got to stick around to find out why that's true. If we don't know the teachings of our God, our Savior Jesus Christ in His Word, we will not see life, really. We will not see progress or growth. He has informed us to teach us, to transform us. And as you just said, Craig, this is not about information, not big Bible heads only. This is information resulting in transformation. So we encourage you, during this series, we believe it's so important that you will plan around making sure you have access to laying these foundational truths in your life, which sadly are seldom heard and or taught. And Craig, we got some roundtables too. Tell them about that.
Yeah, when this series was preached in our church, Robbie, we brought together many people that we love and know, yourself, myself included. We brought in lots of guests and we began to talk through these issues particularly. And so as a special treat for our listeners, we've made this available at liveinthelight.ca. You can watch these videoed roundtables, as we call it, where we begin to take these truths and pour them into our lives and apply them practically on how they would look. Just a reminder, that's available to you at liveinthelight.ca. All right, well, let's get to today's message in Hebrews chapter 5. And here again is Pastor Robbie.
Where do I find the great commandment in Scripture? Matthew 22, well done. Well done. That's excellent. Okay, you need to know that. Now, in Scripture, where do I find then the great commission? Matthew 28, I heard someone say, that's right too. So here's a little bit of conviction coming for many of us here. Some of you can name every hockey team in the NHL and every player on your favorite team and all the stats they had last season and what they're coming into this season, but you cannot name the greatest commandment given by God and the great commission for the church of Jesus Christ, and you call yourself a believer growing in Christ. I say shame on you. I do. I'm not afraid to say that right now. Some of you can name Hollywood actors up and down everywhere. Name all your favorite movies, 100 in a row. You can name films that your favorite actors have been in the last 10 years, but you cannot tell me the great commandment and the great commission and where it is. Shame on you. Trying to give a little bit of conviction and a little gentle rebuke right now to help us to understand, loved ones, our priorities have to be in the right place. We got to be able to pick up our sword and pull to Matthew 22 for the great commandment and Matthew 28 for the great commission. We don't get it. Some of us can name our stocks up and down, but we can't name our word. That's a problem. It's got to be reversed, okay? Forget the hockey lineup unless you got this lineup down pat. Let's turn to Matthew 22 real quick together. Matthew 22, here's what I want to show you here, how doctrine is built into the great commandment and the great commission. Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus is asked, what is the greatest commandment? Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus answers, here's the greatest commandment. He said to him, to a lawyer who was asking him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your, what is it, mind. Okay, so the greatest commandment with our lives is to love God with heart, soul, and mind. Here's my point here. People who tune out doctrine are turning off their minds. If you're turning off your mind, you're turning off your love for the Lord. Can you see that? If the love of God is just a pursuit of your affections and not your mind, you are not adequately pursuing the love of God as God has instructed us to love. There's a movement of our day of love Jesus and ignore truth. That's theologically impossible. The fundamental principle here is you can't fully love God without exercising your mind with doctrine. We are to love God with our minds. How do we use our minds? In the pursuit of truth, in the pursuit of doctrine. That's how we are informed. It's your mind that forms your thoughts, that forms your behaviors, that dictates who you are in this life. Everything starts with the mind. This is the great battlefield of our day. You must guide and guard your mind with the doctrines found in the Word of God. If you turn this off, you're done. There is no true love for God if your mind is not being exercised. That's why the basic element of preaching the word is so critical. If we don't preach the word, we're dead. Because that's what God uses to guide to everything for the church. It's the starting point. Some of you may still not believe me. Turn to Matthew 28 then. Matthew 28 for the Great Commission now. Matthew 28 for the Great Commission. Notice doctrine, the glorious doctrine built into the Great Commission for the church. Jesus says in verse 18, 28:18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Okay, I don't know about you, but I'm listening. All authority in heaven and earth, yeah, I'm listening, Jesus. He says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We know this verse a lot. A lot of us say this verse, but have you ever seen this really before as it relates to glorious doctrine? Verse 20, teaching them. Teaching them what? Teaching them to observe. Observe what? Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, he says. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So what are we teaching? We're teaching the commands of Jesus Christ. What are the commands of Jesus Christ? The doctrines of Christ. The doctrines of the Word of God. This is built into the Great Commission of the church, the importance of glorious doctrine that Jesus Christ himself says, this is what the church must do. Preach the Word. Teach the doctrines of the Lord. Teach the doctrines of the Word of God. Why? That the church might know God, that the church might love God. So sometimes I hear people saying stuff like this. Can we just love Jesus? I mean, doctrines, it seems to divide so much. Can we just love Jesus? But here's my question. How do you know you're loving like Jesus? How do you know you're on the right path to being like Jesus? If you close the book, and by the way, you can't just pull out one gospel and you can't just pull out one aspect of scripture. Jesus himself, we learn next week, his view of scripture was Old Testament and New Testament. It was the whole thing together. He's endorsing all of it as being inspired by God and God alone. And so the thing is, if you want to say to be just like Jesus, you don't know if you're being like Jesus apart from his word. It just can't happen. So some people, they start here and they say, I want to be just like Jesus. But then they start walking here and they've forgotten that they've left Jesus back here because they formed their own doctrine apart from God's doctrine. And so they're trying to be like Jesus and their life is full of something that Jesus wasn't even trying to bless. It's amazing how that happens. Because unless you're rooted in the doctrine of the word, you're not rooted in the doctrine of Christ. So you can't just say, let's just be like Jesus. Because like, what does that mean? You got to define it. And we spend 2 months in the fall. Here's what it means to be like Jesus. It's called the Beatitudes. Where do you find that? In the doctrine of the Word of God, in the teachings of Jesus Christ. Being interpreted by the entire scripture and using the entire Bible. You know, our liberal movement the past 100 years, they have tried to shun doctrine. And they have instead, they said slogans like this, deeds, not creeds. The liberal movement has said we're into deeds, but not creeds. Now that's cute, but that's false. It rhymes, but it's false. Because there are no true deeds without creeds. This is the Great Commission. This is the earliest beginnings of the church. Think of the Apostles' Creed. What was the Apostles' Creed used for? It was used to protect and to unite. and to make sure we have the most basic truths as a church together. And so they held up these creeds to define, are you really in? Because if you're really in, this is what our Savior taught. This is what the Bible says. This is what we believe in the Nicene Creed and so forth. These are the creeds the church has always used for protection and unity in the pursuit of God and the love of God. You can't go forward if you dismiss the creed, so to speak, or the word. They are beautiful when rightly applied in humility and the pursuit of God for the love of God. All that to say, loved ones, this is why doctrine matters so much. Because without it, the church is dead. And without doctrine in its purity, I can't grow in Christ and I can't know Christ apart from doctrine. Takes us to point number two. Why does doctrine matter? Number two is this: I must know what doctrine does. I must know what doctrine does. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5, please. Hebrews chapter 5. This is probably the most critical text of our day. It is the most critical text of our day. Hebrews chapter 5. If your neighbor isn't turning, you can encourage them to do so. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Now, what I'm going to do here in each message in this series, I'm going to have one passage that I want you to be able to know where it is, what book, what verse, and approximately what it says. And of course, memorizing it's the best. But here's the thing. If I came up to you in the foyer next weekend and I said to you, what's one passage so critical to why doctrine matters and what it does for our lives, I want you to be able to say to me, Robbie, it's Hebrews 5 verses 11 to 14. And this is approximately what it says, and be able to do that. That's the goal. Why? Because we don't want to be hearers and not doers. We want to understand how important this is and to build it into our lives. Hebrews 5 verse 11 says this: about this we have much to say. This is what he has obviously said preceding this text, the teachings of the gospel of Christ, the teachings even of Melchizedek, the priest, and some complicated sayings. He's like, we want to tell you more, and it's hard to explain, but here's the reason it's hard to explain: since you've become dull of hearing. Why? For though by this time you ought to be teachers, so the people he's writing to, they should be ones teaching this doctrine, but instead they're still infants, they're still needing to be taught. He says, you ought to be teachers, but you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles, the doctrines of God. You need milk, not solid food. You're still on the milk bottle, he's saying to the people he's writing to. And here's the problem. Everyone who lives on milk, ready, is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Why are they unskilled? Because they're a child. He says, since he is a child, verse 14, but solid food is for the mature. Growth in the doctrines of the word of God is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Now, I love this text. I'm like, why do I love this text so much? Well, because I think it pinpoints the need for doctrine, the sustenance found in doctrine, and the devastation if we don't have doctrine growing in our lives. I want you to notice three things in this passage. Number one, this. You have a problem. Three P's. You have a problem. What's the problem? The people aren't growing. Why are they not growing? Because they are dull of hearing. Notice this. Dull of hearing is not a hearing problem. It's a heart problem. It's not an ear problem. It's a heart problem. The state of our heart affects how we see, how we hear, and really how we live. And what we speak about in this life. So the fact that they are dull of hearing is speaking to their hearts were not in a good place. Loved ones, look right here. This is very important. If you get dull with scripture, if you find the Bible to be dull, watch out for that. Watch out for that, right? God is not boring. The Bible's not boring. So who does that leave then to be boring? Yeah, me or you. God's never the problem. Either is his word. He wrote it. He's perfect. So if we're bored with scripture, if we're dull of hearing, be careful. If you're here right now and you're sitting through this message and there's not something physically happening, you like a heart beating faster or an encouragement of your soul or some kind of incentive to grow, and you're not feeling anything but you have indifference towards the content delivered to you thus far in this way, and you're not feeling anything related to this, I'm afraid for you. I am, because there has to be an awakening and an agreement with that which the Holy Spirit so evidently and clearly blesses. This is the importance. This is the problem. What was happening here as the author of Hebrews wrote this, the people were still in pabulum. They needed to be taught the alphabet over and over again. They were unskilled in the word of righteousness. Now notice this, okay? So they're unskilled in the word of righteousness. They're unskilled in the doctrines of the word of God. So they remain a child. They are vulnerable. They are naive and they are ignorant. They are now children that are susceptible to evil because they can't discern between what is right and what is wrong because they haven't grown in the truth of the doctrines of the word of God. Have you ever noticed that babies will put anything into their mouths, including poison? Why? Because they don't have a clue what they're doing. They're not mature enough to understand if I swallow this substance, it will kill me. They just don't know. That's the devastation of an immature Christian year after year after year after year. Immature Christians do not know enough to know right from wrong. They're still on the milk bottle. They haven't gotten solid food, and therefore they are susceptible to every form of evil. That's the problem. And now we have the prescription. And the prescription is solid food. The author's like, you got to grow up, children. But how do you grow? By eating. How do you grow? By eating what? By eating the solid food, the doctrines, the oracles of God, being skilled in the word of righteousness. Solid fruit is growing in the doctrines of Christ, built on truth, feeding on the word. So notice the blessing of doctrine. Notice the devastation of lacking in it. There's a problem. There's the prescription, solid food. Now there's the plea. And the plea is grow up. Look at Hebrews 6, verse 1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. You can't stay on the milk bottle year after year after year. You gotta grow. It's okay if you're 1 year in Christ, but 10 years from now, you can't look back and you're still drinking from a milk bottle. Man, you gotta be on solid food. You gotta be growing. I got a 1 year old, I got a 3 year old, I got a 6 year old, an 8 year old at home. There's a big difference between my 8 year old and my 1 year old. And if my 8 year old stayed in a 1 year old's position the whole time, that'd be a problem. And if my 1 year old doesn't grow, that's a problem too. There's a deficiency. There's something physically wrong. She has to mature. How does she mature? By eating, by growing. How? By eating, by being nourished with healthy content. How do Christians grow? By eating, by being nourished with healthy content. What is that? Doctrine. It's truth. It's understanding the doctrines of the word of God to make you skilled and to grow. See, right here, this is why so many believers never graduate from elementary school. They don't know doctrine. And in many cases, the church isn't teaching them or feeding them with true truth. I mean, take another step back for a second and see what God's word is telling you regarding word and doctrine. Notice what it brings. Inferences here, but also flat out stated. Growth in doctrine, in humility, in the right sense of that, brings maturity, discernment, wisdom, sustenance, strength, and stability. Let me say that again. A growth in doctrine with humility brings maturity, discernment, wisdom, sustenance, strength, and stability. But wait a second, let's take the growth of doctrine away. What have you left with? That's the point of the passage. You're left with an immature, foolish, weak, malnourished, unwise, naive, and unstable believer. Last time I checked, that's not good. See, and this is why doctrine is so glorious, because this is what doctrine does. It grows us, it matures us, it causes us to be stable, it gives us wisdom and discernment. It protects us from that which is evil. And this is why doctrine is so critical within our day. But our day, again, people are afraid of doctrine. And on one side, I get that. Some people have come from legalistic, pharisaical, fundamentalist backgrounds where doctrine was just hammered as truth and it was put upon you as really works and you were just under this hammer. There was no love and no grace. Let me just say, if you come from that place, man, I feel for you. You are not in a place of biblical doctrine. You are in a place of Phariseeism, whatever you want to say it. And that's going to hurt. And it has. The danger is when someone comes from the legalistic background, and the problem is they get on the pendulum and they're so afraid of that legalistic environment, they swing through on the pendulum, they go right past center, and they go all the way to the other side where now it's all grace and no truth. That's just as dangerous, loved ones. That's just as abusive, whether it feels it or not, than being in a place of legalism. Why do we have to always go from one? Why can't we stay in the center where there's a knowledge with a devotion, where there's a truth and a grace, where there's a love and a desire and a hunger for that which is so pure in doctrine in the Word of God, as it's everywhere in Scripture? That's who we want to be. Here's a quote that should be very helpful for you. I love this quote so much. It kind of summarizes what we're trying to say. Knowledge without devotion is cold, dead orthodoxy. So some of us has grown up in that, as I just said, but some of us have grown up in this other side. Devotion without knowledge is irrational instability. It's not good enough just to have an uninformed affection for God. That affection must be informed by God through His Word. And if you're not informed by truth, you develop an irrational instability of chaos that the Bible has no part of. So that's why then, I love this so much, we want knowledge and devotion. We want devotion and knowledge. We're not throwing out either one. We're bringing them both together from the most powerful place we can be in the church, the biblical church of Jesus Christ. Grace and truth, knowledge and devotion. Now, let me be so clear too as we get into this series. The last thing I want in this church are a bunch of Bible heads walking around telling me how great they are. Bible heads, you know Bible heads? Bible heads. With information, no transformation. Bible heads, let me tell you how smart I am so I can pontificate and all the theological words that I know make you feel inferior to me as I prop myself up, because that's what knowledge does. It puffs up unless I'm grounded in the reality of humility and purity before God. I can't stand Bible heads, all right? We're not Bible heads in this place, but at the same time, we're not afraid of people who genuinely desire to pursue God through a greater knowledge of Him for a love of Him. And that becomes the greatest test of whether this theology or doctrine is being applied. Look right here. This is it. Look right here. The greatest test of whether this doctrine is applied to your life with humility and purity is if ultimately you love God more. It's you become less, He becomes more. Your worship is enhanced. Your affections are growing. Your understanding, the light bulbs are increasing. That's the greatest test of sound doctrine. Is it changing you to love your God more? Not information, transformation. That's the heart of where we're going in this church. Some people say doctrine divides. It does at times. Jesus promised He has not come to bring peace but a sword. And what He meant was the gospel itself will divide. It will divide families. It will divide friends. It will divide nations. But doctrine also unites so powerfully. See, there is no true unity apart from truth. Can we all get along? No. The answer is we can't. Everyone cannot always get along. And we're trying to make peace as much as possible with everyone, Scripture says. But the reality is we will be hated because of our doctrine, because of our truth found in the Word of God. But this is where the unity of doctrine is amazing. Why are so many of us here right now so committed to one another and so sacrificial for one another in love? It's because, think about it, not all of us, but a lot of us are so committed to each other because we're committed in mission. And the reason we're so united in mission is because we're united in the doctrine of that mission. You get it? So many of you have walked in this place and said something like, I believe that, I love that, I resonate with that, I want to give to that, I will sacrifice for that, I want to be that, I give my life for that. And what happened then, you got brother and sister arm in arm moving forward together, so united with purpose and passion, so loving God together, so committed to the cause, and you're willing to go through anything because you know you're living for the greatest purpose and the greatest passion ever. And what I'm talking about is not Harvest Oakville. Who cares about that? I'm talking about the kingdom of God. I'm talking about the Word of God for the Son of God and the glory of God. That's what people go arm in arm for. And this is just one example of this, as this church being a conduit for God's glory for His Son, built upon the doctrine of the Word. And if we throw out the doctrine, we don't have that unity. We don't have that power. We don't have that meaning. And that's what God wants to grow in us more and more. That's what He wants to grow in you. That's what He's calling us to do together. That is why doctrine then is so glorious. And lastly and finally and quickly right here, I'm gonna clap amen. Amen. Point number three is this. I need to know where doctrine is going. I'm gonna do this really quickly here. Here's where it's going. I said this already, life change. It's life change. Probably as important as anything, doctrine must result in life change. Again, not information, transformation. And let me just, I got to turn to John chapter 5. I can't dismiss that right now. I'm going to go there. John chapter 5, I can read it for you. You can turn there if you want to. John chapter 5, listen to what Jesus said, okay? Honestly, John 5, 39. He says this to the religious leaders. John 5, 39, ears attentive to what God is saying. You search the scriptures, listen to what Jesus says. You search the scriptures because you think that in them, in the scriptures, you have eternal life. What Jesus just said to the religious leaders, he says, you are bibliolaters. You are worshipers of the Bible because you think that it's the actual pages of scripture that grant eternal life, where Jesus says it is they, the scriptures, that bear witness about me. So notice what Jesus is not doing. He's not throwing out the word of God. He's saying, if you look for the word of God in and of itself of the pages and worship the Bible, you're totally off mat. But if you throw away the word of God, there is no revelation of Christ. He's saying that the Bible itself is the revelation of him. So when you approach the Bible with the humility and the purity and the doctrines and see it for what they are, you see Christ. And therefore, to truly be transformed in the doctrine is to be transformed in Jesus Christ. And there is no way to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ without the commandments and the doctrines of the Word of God and the Word of Christ that we have before us. But people take that verse, I see the Bible. You can't focus too much on the Bible, it's about Jesus. Listen to what he just said. It is they that reveal me. It is the scriptures that bear witness to me. The Bible never separates doctrine from duty. The Bible never separates belief from behavior. They're always together. The Bible never separates knowledge from love. They're always together. That's what we're pursuing, knowledge and love. Colossians 1, 28, him, Christ, we proclaim. So it's the proclamation of Christ. What's that? It's the doctrines of Christ. Warning everyone, the doctrines of Christ, and teaching. So proclaiming, warning, teaching, all elements of proclaiming the doctrines of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Notice it's these doctrines that lead to wisdom. And notice the result. Ready? Here's the knowledge with love. Here's the doctrine with duty. Here's the belief with behavior. You proclaim the doctrines of Christ, ultimately that everyone might be presented mature in Christ.
Hey, Living the Light listeners, listen, you've heard of Black Friday. You probably heard of Cyber Monday. But have you heard of Giving Tuesday? That's a time, again, for people who are fired up about ministries like Living the Light to give on Tuesday, November 29th, to, again, ministries like ours to see the gospel continue to go forward and lives to be changed through the revelation of God's truth. Did you know that we are kept on the air on this station 100% by generous donors like yourselves? It's so true. We are dependent on you and the support and prayer, again, of our listeners to continue to see these messages go out, and we pray reach so many people again for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this year, we're excited to say we had a special donor step up, and they are willing, again, to match gifts up to $25,000. They're going to match, again, all donations up to that amount towards Living the Light in this giving season. So, hey, maybe right now you consider being used of the Lord to see how you can be used to give generously to Living the Light that will continue to reach people. Again, a donor is going to match up to $25,000. We're so thankful for that donor and thankful for you for considering being used in this way at this time to see light shine in the darkness and to see those again without hope to find the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. Bless you all for prayerfully considering such things.
Well, that's all today here at Living the Light, but we do hope that you join us again sometime very soon.